This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
From car shares and bike shares to community gardens and tool rentals, there is a sharing economy blossoming in big cities around the world. Whether it's to save money, preserve the environment, or build community, people are increasingly choosing to borrow and lend from one another rather than to own their objects and spaces exclusively. In October of last year, the Sharing Project released the findings of its research on the sharing economy in Vancouver. Chris Diplock was the lead researcher of the project, and he joins me by phone this morning to talk about the report. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
So how did you become involved in Vancouver's sharing economy?
Well, I guess it all started with being a co-founder of the Vancouver Tool Library. The tool library is still running. It's around. It's a commercial street in 18th, and it's a cooperative tool lending library. So people can donate tools, or the tool library purchases them, and then they lend them out to the community.
I remember talking to you when it just started, but then we haven't talked to you since. So did it work as an idea?
I think by all accounts, I think it has worked. I'm no longer on the board of the directors, but I was up until July 2013, and membership was continuing to grow. Usage was up. We continued to offer classes, as education was always a focus of helping people learn how to use those tools. We were wondering if we would get a lot of donations or not. I remember having an early conversation with the director of tools when we first started, and we had set the estimated donation rate for people giving us tools at 50%, and I think now it's up to 80%, which is, I think, just kind of shows that an initiative like this gets the community support, and the community kind of comes out and helps build it, yeah.
I guess one of the ideas with the tool library is that those tools, those resources, are not used in a continual way, that they're in a sense idle resources. Is that a good way to talk about it?
Absolutely, yeah. Talking about kind of the idle capacity of objects and spaces, where are they, and how do we keep them from being idle and bring them in to use in a kind of a collaborative and sharing economy. That's a great way to talk about it. The average car is only used around an hour or 2 hours a day, so it's sitting idle for 22 hours. We've heard statistics on how often the drill is used. The average household drill is only used around 20 minutes its entire life. So, when you look at how these things just sit idle for so long, it only makes sense for people to bring them in and help others in their community use it and access that.
I was just thinking about my drill, and I couldn't remember the last time I used it. Now, how did you go from the Vancouver Tool Library to this much bigger project, the Sharing Project?
Well, there was a couple things that were kind of motivating factors in looking into why we needed to research Vancouver's sharing economy. One was that the Tool Library was a small organization. At the time, a volunteer-run board, and we were getting a lot of questions. How can others create what we've done in the community in Vancouver? And a lot of people saying, what else can we share? We get requests on our website to share kitchen equipment. Sometimes it was industrial sewing equipment. So, and no one really had a sense of, well, where is this going in Vancouver? What does it look like? We also saw the Connect and Engage report that came out from the Vancouver Foundation, which actually put some data and some numbers behind some of the cases of isolation and loneliness in Vancouver. And by putting numbers behind it, I think really helped boost it to a serious issue. And a lot of people talk about engagement now. And so my motivation was, hey, let's put some numbers behind the sharing economy in Vancouver. Let's understand not only what people are currently sharing, but but what they want to, with the hopes that would kind of help initiatives and other people looking to get involved know what's going on and where there's some opportunity.
So you were looking at the what of people are sharing. Were you asking other questions about sharing in Vancouver?
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to understand. There was a lot of dialogue about, you know, sharing and renting, and a lot of these things are all part of the collaborative economy, but we kind of wanted to understand what sharing meant to people. So that was one part of it. We want to understand what people are currently sharing, because we acknowledge that there's a lot of things that happen offline, but also that, you know, for all the talk of some of these new initiatives, sometimes we forget that we've been sharing with the public library and our community centers for so long. So how do we take a broad look at all the things we're sharing? How do we look at what we want to share, both physical objects and spaces? And then how do we look at who, which is an important question. Is it your neighbor? Is it the community organization? Is it just someone random across town? And then we also actually explored the factors. So what affects your willingness to share? What's driving you? Is it the money? Is it the environment? Is it space savings? What's kind of at play there? So we explored all five of those.
What was the most interesting thing you found out in your report?
I think that it was great to see, kind of starting to understand some context when people talk about how they share. A lot of people, you know, talking about associating sharing with the term donating and communal resources and borrowing lending for free. And certainly some people did identify that it was kind of the possibility of renting out your stuff or talking Airbnb and other initiatives. You know, the other thing was we heard about the factors. That was pretty interesting to me, because we heard one of the things that I picked up from it was the role that passion can play in kind of lowering some barriers to getting people involved. So, you know, maybe I don't know you, but we're both very passionate about sewing. So I know you probably know how to sew. You're going to treat my sewing machine fine. Looking at this issue of passion and how it helps us share with one another was something I was very interested to see.
I understand that since the report was released, you've been holding a number of community meetings throughout the city. Tell me about those meetings.
From the report, we saw that more than 60% of people preferred to borrow from within 12 blocks. And we started to get a sense of the power of proximity and how we share and lend and rent with other people. So we, you know, we also looked at initiatives like the Tool Library and said, well, this is very much a neighborhood initiative. It's serving the neighborhood. And so we said, okay, let's look at how neighborhoods share with one another. So we started the sharing tour, and we've got 7 stops. We've already done 6 of them. And what we do is we've partnered with community organizations on the ground. So we've worked a lot with the neighborhood houses that exist in Vancouver, as well as some other initiatives like Groundswell and some cafes. And we hold a swap. So we've done some clothing swaps. We actually ended up doing a seed swap. And last week we did a stuff swap at Kits. And we do these swaps, bring communities together, and then we give them the presentation on what we've learned. And we kind of have some dialogue about what's unique in their neighborhood. Kind of what do they do that's different? What ideas do they have? And you know, what are they currently doing? So that's been what the tour has been all about. And we've been around to Kits in Strathcona, the West End, Cedar Cottage, Mount Pleasant, and then Caresdale and Oak Ridge. And then we've got our last one, which is 2 weeks from now in Little Mountain.
And have people been itching to join in? Are they enthusiastic about the idea?
Yeah, you know, the people that come out and swap, it's always a great time. You really get to hear about the kind of true impact, which is another thing that was interesting about the report, which is social connections. People like connecting, and sharing certainly does offer an opportunity. Maybe the need is, hey, I just want to borrow something. I just want to access it. You know, I just want to save a little money. Like, that could be the motivation to get involved. But what ends up happening is there's all these kind of secondary benefits, which is these social connections we end up building. Kind of, we learn how to work with one another. You know, someone, you end up borrowing their sewing machine, and then you learn a little bit more about sewing or something like that. So that was cool to hear on the ground as we went to these different stops along the tour. But also, yeah, people are absolutely interested. We've been meeting with usually between, you know, 15 to 20 people in each of these community events. And I think back to the Vancouver Tool Library and how we started out with 5 people in the room kind of saying, hey, what do you think about this idea? And some people said, you know, this is never going to work. Are you kidding me? People will just walk away with their tools or with your tools. And now we've got some experience with that that we can talk to, and also we've got this report, so that now when groups get together, we can actually put some numbers behind it, which I think is really exciting.
Well, what's the next step for you after this?
Well, I think we want to capitalize on the fact that we've connected with a lot of people in community, and we want to follow up with some of the cool initiatives that we've heard about, some of the things that exist, and try to kind of ignite some further dialogue. You know, we've got 60 people that we can connect with in KIT. So, you know, can we send them a proposed idea and kind of say, what do you think of this? Is this something you'd be interested in starting? That's one thing we're excited about. And the other thing in terms of next steps would be to help map what Vancouver sharing economy looks like. So where are people collaborating? Where can you go to, you know, if you want to work on a woodworking project? There's a couple locations and wood shops in Vancouver that you can do that. What if you want to just an open creative space? Well, maybe there's some opportunities to do that as well. So we're looking to map, you know, Vancouver's collaborative and sharing economy to help people access it and help it grow and help raise awareness. So those are kind of the two next big steps for the sharing project.
And people would find out about that through your website?
Absolutely, yeah, thesharingproject.ca, or, you know, we're on Facebook at The Sharing Project.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for talking to me this morning, Chris.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Chris Diplock. He's lead researcher of the Sharing Project, and he was talking about his work on the sharing economy in Vancouver and the discussion that it has sparked throughout the city.